Each year for 22 days, a solar eclipse plunges this outpost into Shadowlock. Total darkness. All communication is terminated. This year, the inhabitants of Saturn III are about to experience the unthinkable. A nightmare so perfect, it could only have been made by man.
Captain?
Major.
This is my partner.
There are only four inhabitants on Saturn III. One of them is not human.
There are only four. Did you hear that, peoples? Peoples of the human race? There are technically only four inhabitants on Saturn III. One of the inhabitants is not human. One is Harvey Keitel, whose Brooklyn accent was so bad, so terrible, so fucking pimpy from the film Taxi Driver, that they had to overdub Harvey Keitel in Saturn III. But not Kirk Douglas, right? They didn't need to overdub Kirk Douglas. He spoke the right kind of Hollywood English. Isn't that nice? And then there's Farrah Fawcett. Yeah, she's one of the four on Saturn III. And the fourth is a robot. A cyborg. With an organic brain and a metal body. It is December the 17th, 2019. It is just after 10 a.m. here in Seattle, Washington. That's the Pacific Standard Time, Pacific time zone. As if these time zones mean anything to the ancient lords of Kronos. As if these time zones mean anything to the angels and the demons, to the fairy princesses who live between the between. These time zones are meaningless to the ancient gods. These time zones are meaningless to aliens from planet 72.6. These time zones are meaningless to our secret space force fighting in deep space, you know, because it turns out we're the pirates and we're being chased. Of all the science fiction movies of my youth, I would have to say that Saturn III, which I believe debuted in 1980, with some pretty shitty early 70s sci-fi special effects, if you ask me. I think they were on a real tight budget to make that film. Probably Farrah Fawcett and Kirk Douglas took a lot of money to be in that film. They probably got Harvey Keitel on the cheap. And yeah, they had to overdub Harvey Keitel in Saturn III. So if you ever watch that movie and you think, what the fuck, is Harvey Keitel some English bastard? No. Harvey Keitel is cool as fuck. You know, but yeah, they had to overdub him. A little bit too much Brighton Beach on Saturn III. The plot and premise of the movie is completely ridiculous. In fact, I can't really say there's anything great about the film, except for the fact that it's so fucking silly, and some of the outfits are so completely over the top that you might watch it for that reason alone, because it gives you a kind of weird idea, like, how did people see the future? Like, look at that movie, and you get a sense of how they saw the future. They saw a future where the planet Earth had, you know, way more people on it than today. Like, basically, I think 50 billion people or something. That is the future they saw. They also saw a future where women in space have bouffant hairdos and really sexy outfits and completely useless boots. Boots that serve no purpose for riding a horse. And how the fuck would you ride a horse, you know, in deep space? I don't know, folks. I kind of think Saturn III was on Titan, wasn't it? That place isn't good for fucking horses. Yeah, so anyways, some of the outfits are outstanding, especially Farrah Fawcett's. Especially her dress, that dress she wears when she meets Harvey Keitel. And Harvey gets a little horny looking at her and thinking, why is she with the old man? He's wondering if Farrah's free use. Free use Farrah on Saturn III. What do I mean by that? Something very crude. Something very crude, people. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not necessarily going to stay on any deep topics today. I may read one article of interest from Zero Hedge, but before I go too deep, one of my listeners responded, and thank you for doing so. This is actually not a rebuke. This is not an attack. I'm saying cheers to you, because he reminded me that as much as I say I only go to Zero Hedge, and that's true, there are very few places I can go now where I would say any of the information approximates reality. Zero Hedge comes close. But even Zero Hedge, you know, was a giant fucking question mark. If you ask me, the quote-unquote alternative media is just another kind of honeypot. So, yeah, if you look deeply into the money behind a lot of alternative sites, I don't care if it's Gab AI, Zero Hedge, you name it. The one thing I've learned about going to the alternate side in the last couple years is that it ain't so fucking alternate. Like, basically, if you don't agree with their general paradigms of what not and what for and bullshit, you basically get classified and pushed out. So it's almost as if these sites were created to define what alternate is. What alternate is. And as long as you stay within that fucking lane, you'll be fine. Just keep voting, man. Trump needs your vote next year. I mean, yeah, 2020 is right around the corner. You know all the stuff he achieved. Remember, he said he's going to put Hillary in jail. Oh, she's not in jail. And you'll say, well, Dan, he can't put Hillary in jail. Well, then why the fuck did he say he would? Okay? Why the fuck would he criticize all these stupid wars and then come out and say, well, we're leaving Syria except for the fucking oil? I mean, why would he do that? Why? Because it's not real, okay? There is nothing real about voting. There is nothing real about Trump. Trump is doing exactly what he's getting paid to do, and that is to convince the American people that their suffrage, that their rights to in a democracy have meaning. That's it. Same purpose Obama served, okay? Red meat. That's it. And that's why I don't get too hung up on things like Trump, because frankly, the whole thing looks like nonsense to me. You know, it's kind of like trying to keep two ideas in your head at the same time. Here's one thing Trump says. Trump says the U.S. economy has never been stronger. Never been stronger. The U.S. economy so fucking strong. And that's why you're twisting Jerome Powell's arm to lower interest rates to zero and to do more quantitative easing. And yeah, guess what, guys? If you want to know what's going on right now, that the Fed is doing quantitative easing. They're just not telling people about it. It's a lot like what happened after the flash crash in 2010. Y'all remember the flash crash? Some of us ended up on Zero Hedge because of the flash crash. Some of us thought, hey, maybe Zero Hedge, they'll have an honest fucking opinion about it. And they kind of did. Anywho, one of my listeners pointed out that if you look at Zero Hedge, it's currently owned by something called ABC Media Limited. And I think that the listener, inferred that this was ABC Network. I don't think it is. I think it's some type of, you know, it's definitely some kind of LLC or corporation. It might even be something that was formed in another country. But I don't think it's like ABC. I think it's its own special thing. That's number one. Number two, I think if you dug deeply into the funds of any of these organizations, if you dug deeply into the investors, what you'll find is the following. Money spent to keep people in the fucking lane. If you've ever heard of the Overton window is a relatively simple concept. The idea is this. Governments give their people an allowable spectrum of beliefs, an allowable window of ideas, and the window can shift over time. It's kind of like what you say a conservative is today. Listen, you compare a conservative today to, like, I would say, like, Barry Goldwater, and for the most part, conservatives today look like fucking communists. They really do, compared to Barry Goldwater, and it's not like that was ancient fucking history. It really wasn't. It's just 50 years ago, 60 years ago, more or less, and you had, you know, guys like Barry Goldwater in the Republican Party who you could legitimately call conservative. So I think the purpose of Zero Hedge is the same purpose as every other form of media, to keep people on a specific kind of reservation. And even given that, even though I know this, folks, I know that if I dug deeply enough for any of these sources of information, and I'm using sarcastic quotes as I say information, if I dug deep enough, I'm going to find money that goes back to the deep state. And I think that includes Zero Hedge, folks. For example, it's okay on Zero Hedge to blame the weird weather patterns on global cooling or an ice age. It's perfectly okay to publish a Snyder article every other fucking week about the weird weather, but God forbid somebody like Dane Wigington, who actually has done the fucking science and does the fucking research, God forbid his perspective gets listened to. I mean, we'll get the ridiculous perspective that all these weather patterns make sense because the Earth is cooling. I don't know how that explains the Arctic Circle at this point. Oh, but then someone else chimes in, it's because of the pole shift. The pole shift. And you know what? Come up with ideas every 15 minutes to make your fucking worldview make sense. That's what you do. But Zero Hedge, here's the thing. they will allow the most ridiculous opinions about nature, about oil, about the fact that maybe if you drill deep enough, you'll get free oil forever, or maybe the human beings can fuck and feed and poop everywhere and there are no consequences. But what if that's total bullshit? And what if it's hypocritical bullshit because every other fucking article on Zero Hedge is about homeless people pooping and shitting and fucking and feeding everywhere? So on the one hand, they tell us that humans can do this all over the fucking planet without consequences. On the other hand, we get really upset, though, when we see people do it in our nice neighborhoods. I mean, I don't give a shit, you know, if I'm some chemical company in Bhopal, India, and my plant explodes and releases cyanide gas and kills thousands of people. That actually happened, you motherfuckers. But shit, fuck. If a homeless person poops on my fucking street, that's a terrible fucking crime. We have covered the Middle East and the Persian Gulf in dustified, depleted uranium. I want you to listen to what I just said. Okay, because I went through my training on depleted uranium, folks. Here is the official line they gave me in the 90s. While it is true, it is low radioactivity. It is false that it is safe, because if you breathe it in, it doesn't matter how low the radioactivity is. It will kill you, period. Once you breathe it in, once it gets in your body, it will slowly cook your DNA and you will get cancer and you will die. You will have kids with birth defects. That's what will happen. And we have covered the Persian Gulf in dustified, spooled uranium from 25 millimeter rounds, from A-10s, from fucking, you know, artillery rounds, from fucking tank rounds, you name it. But you in Seattle will bitch and fucking moan about somebody popping a squat on the fucking corner. Wake the fuck up. You're very fucking confused, just like Trump. Trump will tell you, guess what? The Arctic Ocean is open for business and we gotta be there to protect it against the Russians and the Chinese. And then in his next breath, he'll tell us there's never been more Arctic ice. Please tell me which one of these things is true, because I can promise you logically, both are not true. It is not true that there's never been more Arctic ice and the Arctic Ocean is open for business. Both those statements can't be true. And yet people swallow that shit, especially on Zero Hedge. They'll fucking swallow it. They won't put those two thoughts in their heads because guess what? They can only fit one. They can only fit one. So yeah, I like Zero Hedge. I like Zero Hedge because there are a few commenters on there that are interesting, and they put a few articles on there that I think are worthy, in the sense that, you know, they're worth reading. But do I think Zero Hedge is quote-unquote the last bastion of free expression and blah, blah, blah? What the fuck do you think? I think it's a fucking ghetto. And I think there are many digital ghettos today. And the thing about the situation is, you build the ghettos first. Then you build the camps. You build the ghettos first. You put people in ghettos. Then you build the fucking camps. That's how it works, folks. Wake the fuck up. Now I'm going to switch topics here and read an article from Zero Hedge because I like the article. I really do. This article is by Paul Joseph Watson, via Summit News, and it was republished on Zero Hedge today around 10 a.m. And the title is, Oh Canada, two men fired after using the word Eskimo in a private conversation. Can you believe it? Two fucking Canadians said Eskimo. Anyways, I'm going to read on. Two Canadian men were fired from their jobs after one of them used the word Eskimo in a private conversation. Holy fuck, people. The two men were boarding a flight from Labrador to Newfoundland when Dave Beck said the word Eskimo. Holy fuck, guys, I said Eskimo a few times just now. What's going to happen to me? His friend Thomas Scott responded by asking, "Can you smell him?" The conversation was overheard by Inuit Nation, whatever, member and former Labrador MP Peter Penishu and other passengers. Beck and Scott, who worked primarily...
Fuck. Beck... Oh my god. Fucking Zero Hedge, you fuck.
Beck and Scott, who worked primarily as plasterers and painters, had been working on a hotel renovation project overseen by Cancote Enterprises. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. Cancote Enterprises? I don't care. I guess that means I'm worse than Scott and that other fucking dude. In spite of several years on the job and being the only two Cancote employees at the remote Churchill Falls, both men were fired and had their names dragged through the mud, reducing future job prospects, reports National File. Beck pleaded for forgiveness in an extremely pathetic manner. I know that's no excuse for the remarks I made. My words that hurt so many people, especially indigenous people. I'm not a racist. I would say culturally uneducated, culturally illiterate. That's what he told CBC. Perhaps if the two had just blacked up like their prime minister, and when he says blacked up, he's referring to Prime Minister Trudeau blackfacing and pictures coming out. If they just blacked up like their prime minister instead of using a naughty word, they wouldn't have gotten into so much trouble. I kind of agree with Paul on this one. They should have blackfaced. Anyways, that's the article. You can read it yourself again if you want to. Ugh. I don't even know where to begin with this. Number one, I would say that the word Eskimo might indeed be very offensive for some people. Probably even offensive in a way that would cause them great pain. And what I would ask above all else before they react to their pain is that they think about their pain. Because I can promise you, these two fucking rednecks, these fucking painters, they're not the ones that fuck the Eskimos. But it's funny, though, we want to blame the poor white guys because surely they're the ones that fuck the Eskimos. But actually, it was probably the fucking Queen. In fact, it was pretty much the British Empire that fucked the Eskimos. So even after Canadian quote-unquote independence, which I wonder what that means, being part of the fucking Commonwealth... fucking queen. Anywho, it was not these two dudes that fucked the Eskimos. And it was literally a bunch of other old white people that did. And yet somehow somebody's got to pay. That's number one. Number two, you know from previous podcasts that here on the Little Saigon Report, I'm a radical supporter of free speech. Why? Because the only kind of speech that needs protection is offensive speech, you stupid fuck. If we get to the point that we need free speech to say hello, good morning, how are you? Yeah, there's no going back at that point. We are completely fucked. There's no backwards. If you think free speech is for saying hello and good morning, what the fuck is wrong with you? Furthermore, and I've discussed this in the past, so I'm going to drink some more of my Taster's Joy's Nescafe. I have discussed this in the past. This is about leaving wounded on the battlefield, people. And what do I mean by that? Now, some of you may have military experience, some of you may not. Some of you may have read and studied military history. So for those of you who have a reasonable background in military science and have studied modern military history, specifically the military history of the last 100 years, right? You know as well as I do that one of the most useful things to do on the battlefield, probably the most useful fucking thing you can do, is leave wounded. And you say, well, Dan, that doesn't make sense. Aren't you supposed to kill the enemy? Well, listen, the truth is a wounded American, for example, takes a few soldiers to take care of that wounded American. A wounded American needs a medic. A wounded American needs somebody to take him back to whatever aid pickup site there is so he can be moved to a second level or a tertiary form of treatment. Your average wounded soldier in combat needs a lot of help. And this applies not just to the U.S. military. This applies to pretty much all the militaries of the last century, okay? So you're saying, well, Dan, what does this have to do with the word Eskimo? Well, it has to do with the word Eskimo for the same reason why people are so fucking up in arms about transgender, for the same reason why there are so many people I know now, and I just know too many people, who are frankly, yeah, either direct victims, well, no direct victims, indirect victims of what they call the cancer epidemic, or diabetes, or Alzheimer's, or you name it. All of the above. The broken physically, the broken psychologically, these are all wounded on the battlefield, people. If you really want to defeat any honest attempt at freedom in this world today, you just got to leave a lot of wounded. People don't have time to think about their liberty. They don't have time to think about their life. They don't have time to think about the fact that they might be destroying the oceans. They're too focused on the fact that they have a brother or sister with cancer, a mom or dad with Alzheimer's, or some fucking Canadian said the word Eskimo. Fuck. I am sympathetic to the fact that indigenous peoples in the Western Hemisphere were targeted, murdered, killed, nearly wiped out in many cases, total tribes completely disappeared. I am sensitive to the fact that when Europeans came to North America, they did a lot of fucking damage. And guess what, folks? That didn't stop. Holy shit. You know, dear Mr. and Mrs. Eskimo, the reason why your villages are slowly disappearing is because the shit we did not end 100 years ago. It's still ongoing. And I'll let you on another little secret here. Those painters, they are as much victims of the same bullshit artists as you are. If you're an Eskimo, your enemy is not the fucking painter that said Eskimo. Your enemy is the same motherfucker that's screwing those painters. But it's good news because you don't know any better. You're just as confused today as you were several hundred years ago when a bunch of people showed up in ships with guns. And I'm sorry if that sounds mean-spirited, but that's reality. You are just as fooled today as you were then. Period. What did Trump say? The Arctic is open for business. Well, there's something around the Arctic Circle called permafrost, or at least it used to be. The reason why it's called permafrost is because, well, it used to be permanently frozen, not so much anymore. A lot of Eskimo villages or indigenous villages along the Arctic Circle are built on permafrost, and that's pretty fucking bad. And the painters that you're so upset with, they're not going to help you with the permafrost situation. In fact, they are just as much victims of the bullshit as you. That's how I feel about the word Eskimo. Now, I could bring up that wonderful movie, I think from 1989, called Heathers. You remember that movie Heathers about the serial suicides at a high school? In that movie, they actually emphasized the word Eskimo as part of one of the Heather's suicide notes. The word Eskimo. I always thought that was funny. I said Eskimo a lot today. I'm gonna say Injun. That's a bad word. That's not Native American, that's Injun. I'm going to say chief. I probably shouldn't say chief. And you know what? I probably shouldn't even, like, have thoughts about Native Americans. And probably all the white people should go to their respective collection sites. Dear white people, go to your collection site. Because clearly, you're the reason why the world is fucked. For this podcast this morning, I don't really have any other topics. I kind of beat the Eskimo thing to death. I thought I might double check Zero Hedge for anything interesting. Ugh, Rudy Giuliani, what the fuck? Climate activist, blah, blah, blah. Where's the inflation? Holy shit. Yeah, because clearly it's so easy to live now. Where's the inflation? They do a good job of hiding it as I drink my Taster's Choice. They do a really good job of hiding the inflation. Back in 2013, I think I used the phrase downserving. You know, it's sort of like downsizing, downserving. And what I meant by downserving was this idea that to hide inflation, they were doing things like adding water to soap, reducing the size of containers, a little extra air in the potato bag, downserving. And they are. They're hiding a lot of inflation that way. And a lot of folks completely buy into it. They're also hiding inflation by introducing adulterants and really crappy ingredients. A lot more plant matter, aka wood pulp. Yeah, you have no idea how much wood pulp you're eating right now. And then people say, well, I eat organic. I only buy organic at the... Yeah, you don't know where the fuck that organic is coming from, you stupid fuck. And since all of it is growing on planet Earth now, using the same water and soil, and frankly, I'd include the hydroponic fucks, it's all pretty much fucking poison to some degree. Where's the fucking inflation?
I don't know.
Oh, and now there's Apple. Rosenblatt goes full bear on Apple with 150 target as China iPhone sales slump. You know, I kind of think Apple is going to live as long as the markets. So if the markets are still here, Apple will still be here. And there's a real good chance if Apple crashes, that's going to happen about the same time everything else crashes. And then there's an article about the Mormon Church. Hey, you know what? Let's read a little bit of this one. Because we all love beating up on religions here at Little Saigon Report. This is published today at around 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it was republished from a website called Religion Unplugged. And the author is Paul Glader. Headline: Whistleblower alleges Mormon Church has secretly stockpiled $100 billion. Oh, really? The Mormons have $100 billion? If you stole it, would that fund our government for like a couple weeks, maybe? 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 It might pay half the interest for like a year on our debt, maybe. Not even that, maybe a down payment on our interest payments for the year. Maybe. And I read on. A whistleblower complaint filed at the Internal Revenue Service in November by a knowledgeable church member alleges that a nonprofit supporting organization called by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, controlled by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, used members' tithes. A tithe is a payment you give to the church, as stated, use members' tithes to amass more than $100 billion in a set of investment funds, and the church misled members about the use of the money. Okay, blah, blah, blah. The complaint may be the most important look at LDS finances in decades, a window into one of the wealthiest religious organizations in the United States and the world. Details of the IRS filing reveal financial assets largely hidden from the church's membership, often known as Mormons, and the public view.
Wow.
The 74-page document filed with the IRS and obtained by Religion Unplugged shows that Ensign Peak Advisors, Inc., EPA, owned assets under management grew to more than $100 billion from $10 billion in the past 22 years, fueled by a mix of investment strategy and tithe money from church members. Religion Unplugged reached EPA's managing director, Roger Clark, by phone on Monday, offering to explain key parts of the story and to ask questions for EPA to give a response. And here's the quote, "We don't really answer questions with the public press, so thanks," he said before hanging up the phone. Well, that's a polite way to hang up the phone, and that's a Mormon for you. I'm going to let you guys read the rest of this. I'll include a link to the article in my notes. What the fuck? But I'll let you read the rest on your own and come to your own conclusions about this. I don't think it's possible to go into all the reasons why I'm currently a man of faith. And I try, to the extent that it's possible, to not discuss it too much or too little, to simply be normal about it, right? But yeah, I believe in God, and I'm a Christian. And I have met a lot of Mormons over the years, and here's something I will state from my own experience. For the most part, one-on-one, these are some of the nicest people you're ever going to fucking meet. And I have no idea or sense that the Mormons threaten anybody or that they're even remotely a cult. Now, do I think the Mormon Church is a version of Christianity that might be an apostasy, that might be heretical? Yeah, I do. I think that probably the Mormon Church is probably wrong about, you know, Jesus coming to North America. But that being said, like I said, some of the nicest people I've ever met have been Mormons. Far nicer than fucking Catholics. Like, if I were to compare Catholics to Mormons, I would rather sit and drink beer with a Mormon who is drinking tea than sit and drink beer with your average Catholic, all things being equal, because the Mormon will simply be more fun to fucking talk to and a lot less of a fucking jerk. Now, that doesn't prove anything. It's all anecdotal, but this is my own instincts. As far as $100 billion goes, in the article, they point out that the Catholic Church officially, the Vatican Bank, which is really just one part of the Vatican, folks, the Vatican Bank supposedly has about $5.6 billion. But folks, if you add up all of the Catholic Church property holdings around the world, it's just a little bit more than $5.6 billion. I've heard various estimates over the years, and this is all very top secret. The Catholic Church is incredibly shady. The Vatican is very secretive. But if the official Vatican Bank number is $5.6 billion, my guess is raw assets, the Catholic Church probably controls $1 trillion or more of property. Probably more than $1 trillion worth of property. Which is more than $100 billion, at least 10 times, right? And I would say probably $1 trillion by today's standards. Maybe it's more. But here's the thing about the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is foundationally, fundamentally, A, not very Christian, and B, a globalist organization. It always has been. Okay? The Catholic Church is probably one of the number one, if not the number one, globalist religion on planet Earth right now. One of the main messages of Catholicism is a kind of pan-universal globalism and pan-universal governance. Now, does that mean that if a person's a Catholic, they can't be trusted? No. But my feelings about the Vatican are different, however. Okay? I got no issues with Catholics individually, and I think that many Catholics are Christians. But the Vatican is probably not. You see, the thing about this article attacking the Mormons, it's really funny. If you wanted to attack one of the most corrupt, one of the most damaging, one of the most secretive, one of the most abusive churches in the history of Christianity, you would attack the Vatican. That's what you would do. You would spend your time, your resources, your fucking zero-hedge dollars attacking the fucking Vatican, not the Mormons. I don't know if this $100 billion is very much compared to the slush funds that other organizations have. I'm fairly certain that Bill Gates and George Soros and other motherfuckers like that have far bigger slush funds than the Mormons. I have no doubt that AIPAC, if you went into all the fucking details of the people they know, I have no doubt that the Israeli Alliance for America, AIPAC, probably has access, directly or indirectly, to way more than $100 billion. But yet, somehow, this article rises to the surface. Somehow, this is critical. And all the fucking bullshit we gotta deal with right now, including maybe avoiding the oceans dying and maybe avoiding World War III, clearly on the priority list are the Mormons. And the Amish. Let's go after the Amish too, folks. I'm telling you, folks, within 10 years, if this shit show doesn't end, the Death Star is gonna sink its teeth, maybe into the Mormons. But the Death Star loves the Mormons because, in truth, a lot of the CIA, a lot of the NSA, a lot of the deep state is Mormon. Holy fuck. Did you know that too? The CIA loves the Mormons. I don't want to go into why. Frankly, I don't totally understand why. And that's one of the creepier angles of Mormonism. Yeah. But I promise you, the CIA and globalists probably don't really like people like the Amish. In fact, they probably don't like anybody who wants to separate from the system. So yeah, wait and learn, folks. Within a decade, you're going to see probably every Amish community in this country targeted on many levels, because they represent one of the last holdouts against all this bullshit. They do. One of the last holdouts against all this fucking nonsense, this globalism, this infinite growth, this idea that technology will fix all of our problems. They represent one of the last question marks to that statement. And you know what? Even if they're wrong, as a society, we should want to have people who question the popular beliefs. We should. We should want to have people who say no when everyone says yes. We should want people who choose not to participate in bullshit when in fact it might be not only bullshit, but rather evil, destructive, poisonous bullshit. So I don't know, folks. I personally don't like the IRS. I think it's an evil institution. If somebody was running a church and trying to hide money from the IRS, I would say, listen, it's the crocodile. It's bigger than you. It's badder than you. If you're trying to play games against it, you're going to lose. But here's the other deal too, folks. Because I kind of suspect the Mormons and the deep state have a kind of deep connection, nothing's going to happen. This is just another good example of an article that goes nowhere and says, in reality, almost nothing. Oh, you just told me that churches amass money? Shit. It's not like that hasn't been going on since the fucking Catholic Church was founded. Oh, you just told me that churches are secretive about their funding? Fuck. That's been going on since the beginning, too. Let me tell you why I like my church. And again, I haven't been a good Christian in the last couple months. I haven't been going to church. This isn't because of the church. It's because of me. But let me tell you why I like the church I go to when I go to it. They are honest about the money. They actually had their accountant go before the congregation and explain the financial situation of the church. They are completely transparent about their funding. And in that sense, as Pastor Tim has pointed out, they're quite holy. They're quite holy. Their insides and their outsides are connected. They are extremely holy in that sense. And that's why I like it there. It's not a perfect place. I think probably a lot of people there would think I was a freak if they knew enough about me. But I would say they're good people. And for the most part, average everyday people who are trying to find a way in this world that doesn't involve victimizing their neighbors. And that is really not an easy thing to do these days on the Death Star. Thank you. I'm going to close this thing out early. I've kind of been off my game the last few days. I know that I made a promise that I was going to start doing some fictional writing. I've been making that promise for 4 months. Let's just be honest. And it's really not writer's block. I've been making notes. I'm convinced that once I get started, I'll get it going and I'll commit to it. But one of the biggest barriers for me to create, and because the podcasting is kind of a low bar, because it's sort of stream of consciousness with just notes, it is creative, but it's creative in a way for me that, to be blunt, is kind of lazy. And so what I'm going to try to do is take it up a notch and do some writing. I don't know if I'll get the first chapter or the first installment of the series done before Christmas. It is my goal to get off my ass and do it. But I gotta be honest with you folks. From day to day, I will wake up and I'll say to myself, everything is going to shit. I don't have kids. I don't have a wife. I don't have a girlfriend. I don't believe in retirement. I don't believe there's some magical place in the future where I'm going to sit with my friends and drink wine. And maybe some people will get there. What I'm fairly certain of is that if that thing exists for some people, there'll be a lot of dead people to enable it. And I will forego magical retirement land if I can forego the stains on my soul. So yeah, I don't believe in retirement. I don't believe it's going to happen. I don't believe there's any way to have a career that makes you money and is meaningful in America without it either directly or indirectly harming a lot of fucking people. And you can tell me, wait, why don't you go into healthcare, Dan? Oh my God, really? You don't think they're harming people? Oh, why don't you do real estate? That doesn't harm people. Really, really, that doesn't harm anyone. The pyramid fucking scheme of real estate has zero impact on human society. That's what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why don't you do social media? Oh my God, fuck you. I'm not gonna work for Facebook or Twitter. Why don't you just fucking, I don't know, Dan. Why don't you become a public school teacher? Anarchist here. Anarchist here, folks. Not going to become a public school teacher. Never going to fucking happen. And I'm happy doing what I'm doing. If you're wondering, Dan, are you unhappy though? Actually, compared to a lot of people, I'm pretty fucking happy. Compared to a lot of these crazy freaks walking around staring at their phones in a constant state of tremor, in a constant state of stress, wondering if they got that email sent out, wondering if they're going to keep their job, wondering if their girlfriend's going to stay with them because they don't make enough money. Guess what? All that shit is behind me. I don't have to worry about it. Probably never again. And so some days I wake up and I don't give a shit. That's the truth, folks. Some days I wake up and I do not give a shit. Some days I wake up, and when it's really bad, and it's one of the reasons why I haven't been to church in the last couple months, sometimes I wake up and I simply want to look out the window and watch the buildings and the cars and everything just catch fire. And no, I don't want to harm anyone. I don't want to harm myself. Why would I harm myself? I'd miss the show. But yeah, back in 2015, I was a lot like this. I was basically waiting for the show. And maybe there was supposed to be a show and it didn't happen. Or maybe, like most people, I have no clue what's going to happen. I can make guesses. I can draw inferences based on data. I can base my conclusions on my human experience, but at the end of the day, I probably don't know more about what's going to happen than you do. All I can tell you is that if it looks like a duck and talks like a duck and smells like a duck, it's probably a duck. And what I'm telling you right now is the shelf life for this society, for this civilization, for this empire, we're way past the shelf life. If you can walk the streets without your fucking smartphone and, proverbially speaking, take a good whiff, just smell the air. I don't mean literally, although that could maybe literally and figuratively. Take a good whiff. Whatever this is, it's way past its shelf life. Way past it. This can is bloated. If you eat it, you're going to get botulism. So no, I don't know what comes next, folks. I'm fairly certain it's going to be quite terrible, though. But what I am certain of is this paradigm is broke as fuck. And the only way to keep it going is by turning people into fucking zombies who get all freaked out if some fucking bozo says the word Eskimo. What the fuck? That is the only way they can keep this nonsense going, by tossing bullshit at you, by tossing Obamas at you, and Trumps at you, and Hillary's at you, and the word Eskimo, and giving your fucking families cancer, or just as bad, not admitting to where the cancer's coming from, making sure everybody gets the Alzheimer's, making sure everyone gets the diabetes, but not having an honest conversation also about where that's coming from. Most people are struggling just to fucking get by. And that's in the United States of fucking America, people. We are really still the richest country on planet Earth. And most of the people I know, college educated people, smart people, they are working their asses off just to fucking tread water. And if you think that's sustainable without people going crazy en masse, you're crazy already. And so, yeah, I wake up some days feeling like this, and I say to myself, why would I do anything creative? Why would I try to learn the piano? That's why I've been so lazy at this shit. I should be learning my chords. I don't know my chords rightly. I should be properly learning to play this thing. I don't know how to properly play it yet. And I could fucking break out the book, and I could start learning this shit and give a crap. And so on the one hand, there's Dan's curiosity, which has always been there. It may get punched in the stomach by Dan's general sense of pointlessness once in a while. But Dan's curiosity's always been there. And in a way, it's both a plus and a minus, because it's my curiosity that keeps me alive, but it's also the reason why. Because I want to see what's about to happen. I want to witness it. I don't care if anyone ever understands what I witness. I don't give a shit. If I die in a mushroom cloud, whatever's coming, I want to see it. I know that's fucked up, but I want to witness it. So that's one of the reasons why I stick around. But just because you want to witness a great calamity doesn't imply that you're motivated to do much else, really. In fact, you might not be motivated to do anything but to be a witness. If you like my podcast and you feel it's worthwhile to listen to my podcast, you can donate. You can feel free to donate. Just so you know, even though my attitude is shitty, I do intend, God, if I don't do it in January, somebody should shoot me in the head. I do intend to start a fictional series pretty soon, in part just to fucking take people's minds off all the fucking bullshit. Like, why not do a fictional series just to fucking break people out of the fucking bullshit of even thinking about this crap? Because if we can't do anything about it, and we really can't, I don't think, there's nothing you can do. The voting doesn't work. You're not going to form a revolution. It's not going to happen. A protest ain't going to fix it. You are a flea on a dying dog. You are a citizen on the Death Star. The only thing that happens to the Death Star at this point is it blows up. And the only thing you can do, if you have any fucking intelligence at all, is figure out how to get the fuck off the Death Star before it blows up. And I don't mean fleeing the US, although for some people that will be the solution. What I mean by getting off the Death Star is kind of what I try to do. Disconnect yourself. Disinvest yourself. Completely cut your ties to the Death Star. This is my advice. There are many scenarios that can unfold, but the ugly scenario of retribution is one. And when you have raised more than one generation of Americans to be morally relativistic, to have no sense of right and wrong, and what's most important, to hate certain groups of people, then really, the way you survive the Death Star at this point is to keep your fucking head down for about 2 or 3 months after the Death Star explodes. Because the Death Star is going to explode. You're going to have to escape it. You're going to have to find some place to hide, especially if you're an old white man. Doesn't matter if you're poor as fuck. People will blame you. And oh my god, the gingers? The ginger anarchists? The ginger anarchist Christians? Holy fuck, we're going to get hunted. And then, yeah, and the fact I'm a pothead, and holy fuck, there's not going to be enough food, people. And my... The meat on my bones will be sought after for its succulents, for its Kobe beef flavor, and for the fact that it's been imbued with 10 years. I've been using weed for 10 years, folks. My flesh is imbued with marbling that contains all of the wondrous juices of marijuana. I will be hunted, so I'll keep my head down for a few months. Like I said, folks, I'm going to try to get off my ass and do a couple things in January. One of them is to start learning this keyboard correctly because, you know what, I'm not getting any younger. And when you reach the age of 50, learning new shit is something you should focus on or not focus on at all, right? Maybe it helps, I don't know. So I'm going to try to get better at this keyboard. That's one of my... In fact, let's think of this in terms of New Year's resolutions. A couple things I'm going to try to do. Don't know why I'm bringing this fucking shit up before I go today, but why not? Here's a New Year's resolution. I am going to start writing fiction again, and I'm going to put it on my fucking podcast, and I'm going to believe in it for its own sake. Holy fuck, that's number one. Number two, I'm going to try to learn this keyboard correctly. If you listen to my podcast and you enjoy it, if you think it's worth your time, one of the things you can do that doesn't really cost you anything is you can recommend it to other people. You can even post links on Zero Hedge. You know, they kick me off for doing it. I know. I'm such a jerk for doing it. But really, if I see a link, another link for make $98 an hour from home in the comments section of Zero Hedge, and believe me, those links are there all the fucking time, then yeah, I don't really feel so bad about posting interesting links to my fucking podcast. But like I said, it's their right to, ban me too, fuck. But if you like my show and you don't have any money, one of the best things you can do is just recommend me to people you think would not be freaked out. Could be a very small subset. That's a small Venn diagram, but yeah, that's one thing you can do. Another thing you can do is you can donate, but do not donate money to my fucking podcast if you haven't taken care of yourself, if you haven't taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, if you haven't taken care of the people you love and care about. Don't donate to me, okay? But if you've taken care of all of the above, and you have a little extra money, and instead of spending it on cocaine, hookers, or fucking cars, or rock and roll, you want to spend a little of that cocaine money on me, I'll take it. I'll take your cocaine money, and I'll have a cocaine good time with it. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. And remember, if you're flying on a Canadian flight, do not say the word Eskimo. Do not say the word Eskimo unless you want to end up in an Eskimo prison surrounded by Eskimo women who want to Eskimo fuck you. And believe me, that's not something you want to participate in if you can avoid it. You'll get the Eskimo crabs. You'll get the Eskimo VD. You'll probably end up impregnating an Eskimo and have an Eskimo half-breed. How racist is that, people? Have a great Tuesday, you fuck.